You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. And joining me today are fellow partners, Dave Mack, who is part of our Managed Services Group in Tax, and Tony Welburn, who is part of Banking and Capital Markets. Welcome, guys.
Morning, Liz.
Morning, Liz. Thanks for having.
Glad to have you guys. So today we're going to talk about managed services in tax, but also elsewhere across a banking organization. And I'm going to let you start at the beginning, Dave. Can you help us with a definition of what is managed services and how is it different from traditional outsourcing?
Sure, Liz. Happy to and appreciate the time. So, you know, managed services is a relatively new term, especially in the tax space, let's say within the last 5 to 7 years. And the reason for that is tax historically has done what we think of as traditional outsourcing. That is, here's a executable, here is a deliverable, and I'm going to help you create that deliverable from a client service provider perspective. You're going to give me data, I do some stuff to it, and I give you back, whether it be a return, a provision, some type of deliverable. The idea of managed services is moving away from the deliverable-based approach to providing services to our clients to blending the teams, the client team and the KPMG team, into what is a larger group that services and brings value to the enterprise of the client. That means our groups co-work, and I must say co-source, is they co-work together. They co-work in a virtual environment, they co-work in a traditional environment, as well as then execute upon all of the functions of a tax department. All of our clients know the tax departments are much greater than their deliverables. They always are entrenched in the work of the enterprise, legal, FP&A, controllership, strategy, prioritization, right? So as we bring the services of the firm together, it's crossing those boundaries where our team goes, sits within business meetings, sits within strategy meetings, defines some of the operational footprints of tax, as well as then helps execute and bring efficiencies utilizing our technology. So it really becomes a blend of both client and service provider into ensuring the execution of the tax department functions is efficient and effective.
To summarize, and without hopefully oversimplifying, it's the traditional outsourcing model was providing a deliverable. Data would go back and forth over a wall, a return. If we're talking about tax outsourcing, a return would be completed. But with a managed service, it's, like you said, blending the departments and the responsibilities. And really, it is a service provider helping with the entire function within tax, the entire department's function.
And that's exactly it. It's exactly it. It's where we are providing almost the entire operational function in conjunction with their leadership.
Great. And so can you share a little bit about the history and the evolution? Like, my sense is this started with IT or technology, but now managed services are much broader than that, and we're seeing it in tax and elsewhere. So how did that evolve?
You're exactly right. I think the managed services world really started in the IT space. Database management was one of the first when companies started hosting their own databases in volume, and realizing that database management was something they could give to an outside provider. But the advancement of virtual technology, I say that meaning the ability to VPN into a client environment seamlessly, act as if you are an employee within their environment, and the comfort of the CTOs to do that. 10 years ago, if you told a CTO you were going to give access to in a virtual environment, either cloud-based or otherwise a service provider, they probably would really think hard about it. But now the ability to provide protections around it, data protections, as well as the accessibility, has allowed managed services to go into other areas of an enterprise, that being tax, accounting, and legal. We're seeing that now as legal services, contract management, other things are coming up. The idea of utilizing a service provider's skill, technology, right, and keeping individuals in the space that is most beneficial and they can bring the most value is key. And so that has expanded across not just IT areas, but all over our company's enterprises, our clients' enterprises.
So bringing it back to banking and tax, because that's what we're here to talk about. So what are the main drivers for banks, whether it's tax or legal departments? What are the drivers for banks to adopt a managed service model?
From banks specifically, right? Banks have an extraordinarily complex, and Tony, who's with me and who is our banking expert, can definitely speak to that in a little bit. But banks have an extraordinarily complex need for regulatory and also SEC reporting, just like other enterprises. But they have a whole nother set of worlds they live in. And so that ability to do regulatory reporting, CCAR reporting, all of those things drive a specific need internally from a tax accounting perspective as well as skill set perspective. As banks look at their world, they are struggling to find appropriate skills and I'll say technology advances that allow them to do things more efficiently. They historically have done it very manually. They either have Excel-based models or they have individuals who sort of run these things on their own. All right, so banks are finding it effective in the ability to manage their regulatory reporting. They're also finding it effective in terms of the ability to reduce costs. In some cases, banks have changed the need for what they need to provide from a tax field without changing the footprint of their people. And that has the ability to manage that and the ability to accelerate the change of technology and accelerate the change of their efficiencies is a key part of the managed services environment.
So, Tony, curious for your perspective here. You've been involved in several tax alliances with banks. What do you see as the drivers for banks to move to this?
Thanks, Liz. Definitely, like Dave mentioned, our industry has some specific regulatory requirements that make their need for talent a little bit specific. But from what I've seen, banks are moving to managed services for a few reasons. First, there is this really real challenge around resources, and many banks are dealing with retirements, perhaps a shrinking pool of experienced talent. I believe post-COVID, we've seen a shift in what college students are going into accounting generally, and that's affecting our banking clients. And all of that is making it tough to fill those critical roles, particularly when it comes to some of the industry-specific things that Dave has mentioned, but also just more generally as you think about talent and compete for talent within your given model. So I think that's the first reason that I've seen. A managed service model also brings the full power of an outside provider. And so at KPMG, we are able to bring a lot of subject matter professionals to the table where an in-house department wouldn't have somebody who specializes generally in executive comp tax issues and things like that. And so we're able to pull those in very easily on a moment's notice when we're in a managed service alliance relationship. So it's definitely about resources, both generally and then specifically within specialized areas. Second big driver, as Dave mentioned, is cost efficiency. And I'm pretty sure it seems like no matter what the cycle, every bank has got to focus on their efficiency ratio. And banks are constantly looking for ways to do more with less. And managed services has definitely helped streamline that process and reduce overhead. And I believe Dave alluded to this as well, but finally, really access to cutting-edge technology. While banks are looking at AI and all of that from a front office perspective as it relates to their customers, generally, the tax department is in an overhead support function and is not getting the access to that cutting-edge technology. And managed services is a great way to allow our clients to have access and leverage the latest tools and innovations that we're able to develop without having to build everything in-house. And that allows them to stay competitive and agile in this ever-changing market.
So resources, both general and very specific, as a reason, and then cost savings. And I agree, efficiency ratios are always in vogue. So that's a good thing to have. So I assume then that those are some of the key benefits we see. Anything else? And I'll ask both of you, what are the benefits you've seen for banks and clients that have transitioned to a managed service model?
Happy to start. And Tony, obviously, I'd love to hear your personal experiences on this. I mean, from what I've seen, one, obviously, a more efficient and value-added process from an operations perspective. I think that's what, I mean, the initial alliance is focused on. But I think ancillarily, what they're finding is that the team that is at our clients. We call them the retain team, the team that actually is, you know, still on their side helping us with this alliance. Their time has been freed up, right? So they are no longer needing to manage large teams. They're no longer needing to recruit and hire and train and do the things that you do have to do for an in-house team. That becomes part of what our team does. And as a firm whose product is people, that's the skill set we have available, right? And so their time is freed up to do other value adds and get involved and bring tax out of the back office for their organizations. It gives them the ability to be more strategically focused and prioritize on items that they may not have had time to do before because they were trying to handle the other day-to-day operations of the functions. Second is really access to information, right? So part of what the value of having managed services is a centralized and a technology advanced focused operational department. And so access to information faster and quicker and in a way that's more meaningful to them and allows them to be more strategic and not have to worry, figure out data mine, et cetera, right? So we also provide that ability for them to focus on the things they want to focus on and not have to go through the minutia of data wrangling and Excel file wrangling.
Sure, that's music to a lot of people's ears. No more Excel data wrangling. Tony, anything to add about what your clients have seen as benefits?
I mean, I think Dave really hit it. I would just emphasize that I do think that we can't underestimate the amount of time that our heads of tax spend managing the department and versus doing tax technical activities. And so I do think that that's probably one of the biggest benefits that I've seen in speaking with my clients is just that ability to shift the day-to-day, you know, team management, performance evaluation, et cetera, and move into focus on strategic tax priorities.
That definitely makes sense. But now we're talking about moving part of a client team to a service provider like KPMG, and then being an alliance to collectively fulfill the responsibilities of the tax department. I'm sure there are things that are not all roses. So talk to me about any challenges or surprises you've encountered in doing this. Are there traps for the unwary?
It's really a great question. And what I have come to learn, Liz, is that one of the biggest challenges is just change management, helping clients adapt to a new way of working. And sometimes there's initial resistance. And, you know, especially if teams are not used to this type of arrangement, they're used to handling everything internally, which a lot of our clients are. And so it is definitely a different model. And then clients have to change the way they do their work, right? And so their focus can shift. They don't have to be overseeing the details. That moves over to us, right? And they have to evaluate how did they do their job before and what needs to change now that they're in a managed service, which, you know, allows them to focus on different priorities. But that might change the way they think about their review of the return or the review of the provision. And, you know, another surprise, I think, can be the complexity of integrating managed service model into your existing systems and process. And I'm sure Dave would tell us it's, you know, rarely a plug and play, right? So communication and planning are key, and setting clear expectations, you know, maintaining transparency throughout the transition really helps to avoid any misunderstandings. And then it also is important to remember that managed services aren't just about outsourcing tasks, right? They're about building a partnership, which requires that ongoing collaboration and trust.
What I mean, you hit on, I think that the change management aspect can never be overstated. And for most of our clients, and not all managed services involve a rebadge, Liz, but it is one of the unique features of these is that the ability to take on the historical team and give them new opportunities within a different environment than they would have had. The ability of individuals to accept change and to be able to be champions for change is definitely, I think, one of the biggest challenges, especially if they weren't involved in the initial conversations around why the company may be going down the path of an alliance. They have, again, historical pride. They've done a lot of great work there, especially individuals that have been at our clients for a long time. And reflecting on that and appreciating that is key, but also understanding that a lot has changed in our world from tax in the past 10 years. And as we all know, you have to change to stay relevant and to be effective. And so as they go through these environments, it is a huge impact and a huge shift to them. And acknowledging that we're all people and we all have to accept this over time, and being able to give the right time in which to digest and then also to move through the process, I think, is key. The other thing, I think this is something more for as you're thinking about going to a managed services alliance from a client perspective, is scope. And so understanding what it is you're expecting your service provider to do to ensure that the cost savings you're thinking you're getting are actually going to be realized. We have some horror stories from new clients that have said in their previous alliances, as soon as they signed the contract, out of scope bills came in. And so it can be a trap for individuals who may not have the appropriate discussions around planning and may not have the appropriate discussion around what that means, right? So it's something that I've always taken to heart in our alliances. That's never something we do. We ensure through workshops that we have scope clearly defined and articulated. But at the same time, it can be, as you think about things, as you go into those conversations with clients or with our other service providers, to be wary of.
Thank you. That is good insights, and appreciate you guys sharing some of your experiences. So how broad is the application across different parts of the bank? Like, where do you see managed services being applicable? I know we all work in tax. We see it in tax. My sense is there's different parts of tax. And maybe you can comment on where you've seen it and how it works differently in various parts of tax, but also where else in the bank is it being applied?
I'll tell you where I've seen it, but I'm sure there's other opportunities, especially in the banking practice. So obviously with our legal managed services, similarly, we are all seeing that expansion into that area, contract renewals, contract management, especially in the low to medium risk areas of those contracts or things companies are willing to hand off. Obviously in informational reporting, IRW work, some of that front end client facing work as well, even though I guess that's been how it's defined within tax or that of tax. Some people define tax as whatever's on a form. I'm not sure I define it that way from my history, but that's just how it is. I think, and everywhere else you would normally see managed services, IT services, AR, AP, basic accounting services, all of those things are being able to be driven through a managed services environment. I'll let maybe Tony speak on the specifics within the banking environment in particular, but it's where I've seen it.
Yeah, I think, Liz, my experience is really focused, on tax, but I think, maybe not to gloss over it, I've really seen it, potentially touch almost any area of tax, right? So I think first comes to mind for all of us, income tax returns, both federal and state, maybe provision support. I typically don't see, obviously, the whole provision process with the oversight and management function going, but definitely the support process of building that up, even the regulatory capital calculations for tax purposes, indirect tax filings, so your sales and use, your property, but then we also see it in some of the more operational places, for example, information reporting, client onboarding, tax reporting for that space, perhaps unclaimed property process, which really isn't tax, but is maybe tax adjacent. Those are all areas where I've seen that come across. And actually most recently, even a little bit in the employment tax space, that's another area where there's really specialization within a company. And, maybe it's easier to outsource or co-source and manage service that process.
That's a lot of great examples. And I think some of those areas you mentioned don't necessarily sit within corporate tax. Even if we think about just corporate tax, though, and I want to hark back to something you said, Dave, about the importance of scoping. It doesn't have to be everything, right? Like, it could be just a piece of a process versus the entire tax department, direct tax, indirect tax, everything.
So I think that's a great question. I think it actually goes back to the very first question you were asked, which is the definition of a managed service, right? And so I think as we think of managed services, and it's definitely a very gray area, right? How do you go from outsourcing to co-sourcing to managed services, and where do we get to? But I do think it doesn't have to be an entire tax department. We view it as a particular type of tax. So it could be all of property tax and that function from data to execution to audit support. It can be indirect tax so we view it as a type of tax versus an entire tax department holistically. And as I think about defining that, and the reason why we think of it as a type of tax from wing to wing, I think this is the most important, is that if you're doing one piece of a process, you can't bring all of the efficiencies that the firms have gathered over 100 years of doing this work to bear, right? So if you're asking me just to do one calculation, great, I can do that calculation phenomenally, but it doesn't mean I can automate data pull, execution onto the forms, through audit support and reporting. That is where, by allowing a firm to own the wing-to-wing process in partnership and alliance with you, it allows also them to bring the efficiencies, the technology, and the process improvements that are necessary. And that sometimes in-house teams, you know, part of the challenge is going back to another first question you had. One of the challenges that we're solving for is a lot of teams know they have this opportunity for improvement, but they just don't have the time to do it. And you find a lot of in-house teams so boggled down in the day-to-day that they know that there's opportunity for improvement, they just can't do it, or they can't get to it because they just don't have the resources or time. And so this also part allows that.
So we see some of that frustration in bank tax departments. Tony, thinking about the bank tax department internal, what have you seen in terms of changes as for that department as a result of adopting managed services? And also, I'd love to hear about how a managed service has maybe changed your relationship with those tax departments. You've worked a lot in tax and with banks, but not necessarily always in managed services.
So I think a lot of the how it changes for the internal department are things that we've highlighted throughout here, so I won't belabor them, but I do think it changes the day-to-day shift for what we call the retained team, right? So things that they used to do around, performance evaluation, managing the team, you know, a lot of that HR function, you know, shifts, allowing them to focus on those higher value things like planning, working with the businesses and things of that nature. It also gives the internal team time for all those projects that they've wanted to do for years and years and, you know, haven't been able to get there. Digging in an apportionment and just understanding all aspects of the business and being a strategic partner. It also does obviously change, you know, the day-to-day as we're able to bring technology and a fresh perspective. So sometimes that makes the process more efficient. Maybe we bring a perspective that has occurred to the internal client team, but they just haven't had a way to get there. And maybe that means streamlining from the provision process into the return and leveraging more of that. Maybe it means revisiting how you think about your quarterly estimate process. How many times do you touch the data? It was telling for me as I've gotten to see this and see a little bit more of an in-house perspective that you're right, I haven't ever had as spending my whole career at KPMG. Picking up data for purposes of the annual forecast, and then again for Q1 provision versus Q1 estimates, and there's slight differences in those processes. So how do you think about that data? How can you leverage from one to another? So I've really seen change in process as a result of that. And then as far as how has it changed my relationship, that's definitely a change, even though I've worked with some of my clients clients many years. They've typically been driven around deliverables, projects, and maybe those deliverables are tax returns. Maybe it was a special project, but whatever it was always a start and a finish. And really the move to managed service has deepened that relationship with my clients because it's really not just providing advice or support on specific issues or certain tasks. It's really being involved in their day-to-day operations and the long-term strategy. You know, it's more collaborative. We use the term alliance because, you know, we're not supposed to use the word partnership, but truly it is a partnership. We're working together to solve the problems and drive that improvement. And we always say, you're not losing part of your department when you have like a rebadge scenario. It's just that you're expanding your team, and you're expanding your team in our case to include KPMG, and so it's really that approach builds a lot more trust and allows us, I think, to provide greater value over time.
I really like that aspect of the deeper collaboration. I can see the benefits of that. Yeah. And you mentioned technology, and that was another area I wanted to ask about, because it strikes me that this entire relationship and collaboration isn't possible without technology. So I assume that plays a big part in it. So Dave, talk to us about technology and the role it plays in the delivery, but also maybe how the evolution of managed services and tax.
That's a great question, because I do think technology has driven, and we alluded to it a little bit earlier, but it's driven the evolution of managed services, right? So, you know, back in the day when I was running up and down 42nd Street with a giant folder of tax returns to go to my various client offices on the day before filing day.
It's a great visual.
Right? To get signatures, right? And I can say once it was pouring rain and it's like the most horrible scene you could ever imagine. But that's what we used to do, right? I mean, I know I'm dating myself, but that was what used to happen when you outsourced a tax return. Fast forward to today and fast forward to the ability for service providers and clients to co-work in an environment. And that environment, whether it be Teams, whether it be Zoom, whether it be SharePoint, we can literally coexist in a file together and work real-time together in a more meaningful way. And that accelerates the ability to provide a managed service. If you have to walk down a street to go to someone's office, or you have to be physically in their office to work together, it's almost impossible. And thus why Teams were built up in-house, because the access to them, speed, et cetera. The ability now, and there aren't many benefits of COVID, but one of the benefits of COVID was to accelerate the adoption of and the acceptance of virtual meetings. I think now we're much more comfortable with the virtual meeting and the virtual introductions, right? In the managed services world, the comfort of having someone work with you who isn't in your physical space and also can share the technology real time has driven the adoption of the model in a way that I don't think we foresaw even 7 years ago when I was part of one of the first managed services deals. So definitely has brings us a long way. I mean, and then secondarily, the technology firms have to deliver, right? To actually execute the function. I mean, I know we as a firm, you know, is somewhere in the north of $5 billion have invested in our technology, right? We're an accounting firm at the base, an advisory firm, but we're building $5 billion of technology, right? That's because we see the value of bringing the right technology and developing in the right way that allows our people to be efficient and thus allows us to share that with clients in a more meaningful way by doing a managed service.
I agree. And we've seen the technology, right? It's come a long way. Changes are fast and furious. So with that in mind, what technology trends are you most excited about? And what should our listeners be looking out for? It definitely is changing overnight in this space, and certainly changing the way we do tax as well as managed service.
It is. I mean, it almost sounds cliche, but AI truly is going to be the game changer. I made the analogy once and I still hold to it. AI is going to be the blanket that gives you the connection to your entire world. We've spent a lot of time as a consulting technology companies, either building physical pipelines to share data across areas, whether it be ERP systems, it's a data lakes, et cetera. AI has the ability to mine, source, and consolidate that data in a way that is outside of the world of pipelines, right? It doesn't need to bring the pipelines together anymore. And so as I think about AI, even a year ago, I remember someone asked me, hey, should we do a webcast on technology and AI in managed services space? I said, no, we're not there yet. And now 12 months later, I'm sitting there going, absolutely, right? We have use cases of tax return reviews being created through AI, which is an amazing thing. They've spit out analysis and impact and risks, highs and lows, right? So AI, while it is not going to replace, is going to be an extraordinarily powerful tool for our clients within this space and within their own space. And I can tell you, just even in the past 6 months, the acceleration of the use cases and the real life examples and how our staff are using it in ways that I couldn't fathom has really been amazing. I think it will drive for the next at least 5 to 10 years how we do things.
Yeah, and I think that's a great place to wrap up because we talk about the benefits of managed services and the access to resources and the deepening of the collaboration, the widening of the team. We talk a lot about the cost savings and the efficiency gains, and those are real and totally important to a bank. But certainly the access to the changing technology is definitely a real key and benefit to the managed services. So, Tony, Dave, thank you guys both very much for joining me today. This has been a great conversation. I look forward to having you back because I think this space is changing rapidly. So we'll continue this conversation, and I think we may even have some bank clients on to talk about their journey through managed services.
That'd be great. Thanks, Liz.
And to our listeners today, thank you very much for joining. This is Liz Lamadou on behalf of KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.